Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Taylor Radio. I'm going to go off on some tangents today. I'm going to go off on some tangents on being a snowflake, TikTok. I'm going to talk about TikTok. Going to talk about being a snowflake. Going to talk about the cultural revolution occurring here in the United States. Get ready, buckle up. You can check out my website, tstutch.com, Instagram and Facebook, Taylor Radio. You can also find me on TikTok at tstutch. Thank you, and enjoy the episode. In the words of Andre 3000, don't want to meet your mama, just want to make you comma. Take that as you will. Let's jump into another episode today. Guys, welcome. Thank you. So, I want to start off this episode on a little bit of a lighter note. Being on TikTok, I get to see the shit show that is TikTok. And I want to talk about that for a second. First off, let's talk about TikTok, guys. So, I've been on the talk for since last year. You can follow me on the talk at tstutch, T-S-T-U-C-H. And my content transformed from, like, fun, goofy content trying to kind of, like, match the feel of the app to just making my own whatever I wanted to make, which has been more political, cultural, and the more political, cultural stuff has been taking off. I went from about 45 followers, and in about a month and a half, I've got about 1,000 followers now, which is still not hardly any, but a huge increase. I've kind of found a little bit of my own lane. But basically, TikTok, the app, is evolving at a tremendous speed. So for those of you who are not acquainted, it's, you know, people put up, you can put up videos, collages of pictures. People a lot of times, I've talked about last year how it's very inventive in certain ways. Like if I put up a video and I record myself talking, somebody can take that audio and use it for their own video. They can make fun of me. They can make it goofy or funny by making an extra video in the background. There's lots of different features on TikTok which make it really attractive, I think, to people. In addition to that, there's been a lot of videos. There have been, you know, Twitter has been my place to find, like, breaking news because I think that's really where it comes from. But if you want to find breaking video content that was going on during the protests, you're better off on a TikTok. You're better off on TikTok because when I was on looking through the protest videos on TikTok, all these people are young. So all of these 20, 21, 22, 23, all the way up to 30, 30-something years old, they're all recording and uploading the videos of these protests and these riots on TikTok. I mean, I got some up-close footage that I found on TikTok that I was re-uploading over to Twitter because it was so interesting. Now, the trends, you know, just some things real quick here. Some interesting things about TikTok is people are very trend dependent. So on social media, it's very easy to see how people are influenced by trends. Well, TikTok is the golden, whatever you would say, golden whatever of that. It's the gold standard of sheeple activity. And because everybody is trying, lots of people are simply following the trend. Somebody makes up a dance and then everybody does the dance. Somebody makes a skit with a funny sound. Everybody tries to reenact the skit with the funny sound. You will see it over and over and over again. TikTok will let you see how sheeple-like we all are. I have engaged in some of these trends because I want to get followers. See, that's the incentive base. People are like, oh, I want people to look at me and see me, so I'm going to do what everyone else is doing. Right? That doesn't really make sense. What helps people stick out is if they do the trend, but they do something unique or different, or they look hot. Hot women, much easier to get followers on TikTok. If you're a hot guy, easier to get followers on TikTok, or if you do something really interesting and unique. So that's why it's really best to pick your own lane if you're going in on TikTok. Now, and on TikTok, you'll find all kinds of lanes. There's comedy. There's people do skits. People do skits with friends, with themselves. People do singing. People do dancing. All kinds of different videos. Very interesting platform. Now, the reason I was going off on TikTok is because there's a video I saw on there, which I had to go into some detail. This girl, she's on there and she says that, you know, she's got this feminist t-shirt on. She said she goes back to her hometown. And she's, you know, usually she lived in Washington, D.C., but she went back to her hometown for the COVID outbreak. She walks into a gas station and the guy behind the desk, who she, you know, paints in a very derogatory picture, which he probably was a fat, ugly dude. But she's like, yeah, he said, you better be, you know, you might not want to wear that shirt around here. People don't like that, because it was like a progressive kind of feminist shirt. And she was like, started talking about them being snowflakes. And it fucking got me, because it reminded me about the left-wing liberals, especially in this environment, misusing the term, misappropriating the term of snowflake. Snowflake, we're going to go into this. This all started from a TikTok video. Snowflake does not mean that you get offended. Now, people will kind of say that shorthand, but everyone gets offended by shit all the time. The issue is not that you get offended. What makes you a snowflake is that you get offended and you melt down and you have to make everybody change their behavior, right? So if I get offended because, like, if I'm in an argument or debating somebody, I might get offended at the way somebody characterizes me or something I've said, and I might get legitimately pissed off, but that doesn't make me a snowflake. What makes me a snowflake is if I throw a temper tantrum and demand that person be kicked off the stage and be deplatformed. What makes you a snowflake is when you refuse to come into class because you might hear an offensive word and you want your professor to be fired. What makes you a snowflake is when you go on somebody's Twitter timeline and try to get them fired for jokes they did 10 years ago. Snowflake should really be used in relation to people trying to attach consequences to them being offended. That's a snowflake. So, a lot of people talked about the, you know, Colin Kaepernick thing. Yes, I agree. I don't think, you know, I don't really give a shit if the guy wants to kneel. If people want to kneel, they can kneel. Whatever. Don't care. However, there's a difference between people talking shit and voicing their displeasure and people actively trying to get somebody fired, right? So lots of people on the right did not like Kaepernick or Kaepernick, however you want to per se his name, talk about or, you know, kneel during the national anthem. And yes, I'm sure some people wanted him to get fired. But how many people actively were saying he has to be fired or that there has to be some physical consequences done to him? He can never work again, whatever. I didn't see a lot of that. I saw a lot of outrage. I saw a lot of people upset. I didn't see a lot of people saying he can never work again or he's not allowed to kneel. I heard a lot of people say, yeah, you know, yeah, there was some shaming. And I got to be honest, like, if you were calling for him to never be able to work again, then you are a snowflake, right? That's attaching the consequences to you being offended, okay? That's, you know, that's not going to work. But the thing is, a lot of people that are in the middle or right of center or even a little bit more further right, a lot of us, because I my beliefs do fall more to the right of center, a lot of people like me or that are more conservative have grown up in an environment where the mainstream media, the mainstream culture does not agree with us. So even if we get pissed off, get offended, get upset, there's not even an understanding that there would be consequences attached. So let me repeat that again. The culture is so left-wing that no matter what is said or done in public, most people that are conservative never even ever expect consequences to be attached to them being offended. That's just not how our society is set up. Now, I'm sure you could find, an example here or there, but generally speaking, this is directionally true. I mean, all you've got to do is look around. all of the major corporations are behind, are supporting LGBTQ agenda, are supporting BLM agenda. And I'm not even saying anything bad about those specific agenda. I'm just saying those are more left-wing causes, and those are totally supported by companies and corporations. Nike, Coca-Cola, NFL, ESPN, Disney, all that stuff. So you cannot pretend that all of these, the whole culture is really in a very much of a left-wing state. So if you're a Republican or if you're conservative, I want to say Republican, more or less, if you have traditional ideas or more traditional ideas, or as they say in Chinese, chuang tong, if you think more like chuang tong, then those ideas are not accepted. We've been battling those ideas with, people like me are constantly hearing about how bigoted we are. I get offended all the time. That didn't make me a snowflake. I could argue with somebody, tell somebody I think they're a piece of shit, whatever. That doesn't make me a snowflake. What makes me a snowflake is having a meltdown and going and saying, I'm going to get you fired. You're not allowed to ever come back here again because you said that you like Trump. That kind of shit. That's snowflake stuff. All right, so let's go ahead, now that I've got my snowflake rant out of the way, let's talk a little bit about the cultural revolution that we're seeing in the United States. So, very interesting. I've seen many people, a lot of Chinese people online are starting to voice a little bit of their concern about how what they're seeing in the United States now is what they saw with the Red Guard in China during the Cultural Revolution. And I have been echoing this. I've been saying this. I've been saying this since 2017. The first time I spoke about the Confederate issue, the Confederate statue issue. The minute people started attacking statues and trying to reframe history, I knew, I was like, oh, wow. I'm not even an expert on Chinese history, but I've known enough that I was like, whoa. This is what I read about. This is what people were doing in Cultural Revolution China, where they were taking down statues. They were attacking intellectuals. It was a total time of anti-critical thinking. It was anti-tradition. It was anti-everything that society is. And that is what we are going to now. That's what we're going into now. So we're going into a period where people are totally suspending thought, and people are going along with the mob. There's a lot that goes into it, and I think social media is playing a very key role in spreading this situation, and that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. That social media could be used for good. It can also be used for evil. So what the Red Guards went around China and essentially were enforcing the orders and the ideals of Mao. Now, sort of, right? Like, I've read that because they didn't have the internet back then, they didn't even have good phone and electricity in lots of parts of China at that time, that, you know, there was a lot of groups that kind of would just kind of disband and do their own thing, and maybe the ideals they originally tried to stand for totally were way out of line. But what they did was they would go after intellectuals, people that were, you know, because in China, the intellectuals are held up to a very high esteem traditionally, and so the intellectuals were attacked. Much like we're seeing now in the United States, lots of university professors, you could look at people like a Jordan Peterson or a Brett Weinstein and many others, are being attacked for even saying anything against the mob. Similarly to back in China, the mob is mostly young people. I actually think they were younger in China. I think they were in their late teens. Here, they're in their mid-20s. Which, you know, just goes to show you how stupid everyone here is, that you can be into your mid-20s, late-20s, and you're still dumb enough to believe the Maoist communist propaganda that a bunch of teenagers were doing in communist China in the 70s with no information, no access to information, and you're doing the same shit. You know, that's what they're doing. Now, some of the parallels is, I've already said, they attack the intellectuals. They attack anybody who voices a dissenting opinion. They take down historical monuments. That's what they did in Mao's China. And the idea is to wipe the slate clean and try to start over. But now, there's so much bloodshed that has to happen because you got to remember, our current world is built on a history. And it can be the history of law, history of business in an area. Let me put it this way. Our current civilization is built on the wisdom of the past. And when you try to erase the past, then you also take the wisdom along with it. That leaves you with a very hollow society. And many people have pointed this out, like, Nassim Taleb doesn't say this explicitly, but if you read him enough, some of these ideas come through. In fact, that's why Nassim Taleb defends, religion to a degree, and Christianity. And he defends people who believe in it because he says, look, there is wisdom. There is wisdom that will enable people to survive that modern day scientific people that are fake scientific thinkers don't realize. You can't. And then Jordan Peterson talked about several years ago how our civilizational structure is built on wisdom from the ancients. And what the Marxists are trying to do is throw away all of our cultural traditions, which, yes, when you get rid of the traditions, it seems like you're getting rid of superficial things. But what you're really getting rid of is also the things that are attached to it that go way deeper than the symbolic gesture themselves. You know, whether that be celebrating Christmas or feasting or many different things that we do as humans where we do these things, we don't quite understand what they mean, but we do them. Like rituals, kind of. What the left is trying to do is throw out the history and act as though there is no wisdom in how it's been organized. Right? Like how people say, well, capitalism must be overthrown. Well, don't get me wrong. There are people that abuse the capitalist system. There are bad businessmen. There are bad bankers. There are bad government officials. But the idea of free enterprise, if you go back in history, it's very much the idea of people being merchants, people being producers, people trading and bartering for labor and time and whatever and farming. These are things that go back thousands and thousands and maybe even further back in time. These are deep parts of humanity where people can somewhat freely buy and sell goods. Now, that doesn't mean there's no law or anything like that, but the idea that capitalism or that free market or free enterprise at a state, city level or at a larger civilizational level is a modern-day invention is bullshit. You just got to go back in history and read about the bazaars and read about people trying to travel around the world and trade and get resources and minerals all over the world for thousands of years. The Silk Road in China. You know, I mean, there's just so many examples of this. And the left is trying to eradicate that. That's what these statues are tied to. That's what names of places and roads and stadiums are tied to and things like this. Is that there is wisdom and knowledge that comes with the things that we don't even realize that we walk around in day to day. You know, the cities that we inhabit, the places that we go to, there are parts of history that we don't truly understand will disappear if we get rid of those. Now, I think it's fine to have a debate about the merits of some of the statues and things like that that are up. But there has to be debate. It can't just be, we don't like what this stands for, so we have to get rid of it. There needs to be discussion. There needs to be a way for monuments and things, even if they're reprehensible to certain people. There needs to be ways that we could preserve those things. Right? Like, we didn't just destroy the Nazi concentration camps. We kept them around and now we show people what they are. Imagine if we just blew up all of the history of the past and just abolished it. And then we abolished the lessons of history and the wisdom of history that comes along with it. What did we do? Well, we just say, well, the concentration camps existed. There's no proof they existed because we blew them up, but they existed. So now what? When you take down all the Confederate statues, if you take down all the monuments of the past that you disagree, then how do you even fight what you're trying to fight when there's no proof that your enemy even existed? That's an interesting turn that I don't think radical leftists want to think about. Also, I want to point out the radical Marxist Maoists, that we should probably call them Maoists, the Antifa Maoist revolutionaries that want to take over and, you know, want to destroy history. They want to assert that, you know, the West has been, you know, the United States is a slave-holding country. It's based on slave labor. Everything was built on slave labor. And no, that's not true. Yes, slaves were used for intricate parts, for special parts of the economy, right? Like farming, cash crops, and I'm sure other parts of the country as well. But no, the slaves were not used by all the fucking poor, all the poor people from all over the other parts of the world that came here to pioneer the West and to build major cities in free states. I mean, there's so much production, manufacturing, and law and economy that occurred that had nothing to do with slave labor. There's also a lot that did have to do with slave labor. Now, let's talk about the slavery. Yes, there was slavery in the American colonies. Did it all happen from white Englishmen? No. Were the white Englishmen the fucking people that came over and killed all the natives? No. Was Christopher Columbus a typical white Englishman? No. He was a fucking Mediterranean. He was an Italian who came here financed by the Spanish, you idiots. He was funded by the Spanish. He was Mediterranean. He wasn't what people normally assert as a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. No. He was a... He probably... Anyway, regardless. The Spanish did a number on the Western world, on the Americas. The Spanish conquistadors came over and probably killed hundreds and thousands of native inhabitants, but everyone wants to pretend like if you're Mexican, you're oppressed when you've got that Spanish blood in you. Anyway, also, I'm just ranting, but there's just so many inconsistencies. And one more thing. The thing about slavery. Slavery continues to exist in other parts of the world, like, you know, the way we think about slavery is people being not paid to do slave labor, like hard physical labor, still exists in the world. Doesn't exist in the United States legally. I'm sure there's some illegal shit going on. But the U.S. and Britain and the other Western countries are probably the first major nations to abolish it. Britain abolished slavery. The United States abolished slavery. I don't think a lot of civilizations like the Romans and the Egyptians and all these other ancient civilizations in Africa and all over the place, I don't think the Aztecs, did they abolish slavery before they died out? Did the Native Americans abolish slavery when they took, you know, if they took people as slaves after defeating them? I don't think so, dude. So there's a lot of nuance to Western history. There's so much nuance. It's just too much to get into. But that's all I got for today. But radical left-wing Marxists, they don't know what they say. They don't understand the foundations of civilization and history. And I'm even ignorant of them all. But I have a respect for it. We need to have a respect for the wisdom of civilization while still trying to make things better. We need to have a respect for the history at the time without totally excusing those behaviors. We can recognize slavery is bad and at the same time recognize that at the time that was the way the world worked. Anyway, that's all I got to say for today. Follow me on my website, tstutch.com, Twitter, tstutch1. Facebook and Instagram, Taylor Radio. YouTube, Taylor Space Stutch. Thank you for listening. Buy my merch on tstutch.com.